Sister Bartels, do you approve of the wedding of the marriage of Chad with Sarah Brueggemann?
We do.
Brother and Sister Brueggemann, do you approve of the marriage of Sarah to Chad Bartels?
We do.
Who gives this woman to that man?
My wife.
We are gathered here for the solemnization of the marriage of Chad Bartels and Sarah Brueggemann. We begin this ceremony with the confession that our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let us now confirm that confession by singing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 245 in the Trinity Psalter hymnal, which you find in your pews. 245, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. I will now lead you in prayer. Before we do so, I should mention that one of the men who was in the party had an accident overnight and is in hospital at the moment, Austin Schulenberg. So he could not be here, and he is in somewhat serious condition. So we will remember him in our prayer as well. Let us seek the Lord in his throne of grace. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is indeed to confess that you are faithful, that you are steadfast in your love, and that we see your mercies every morning anew. You care for us, you lead us, you bless us, you provide for us, and you also bring as by your own hand husband and wife together. Father, we thank you that we may be here with Chad and Sarah to witness the solemnization of their marriage. We thank you for this wonderful day, wonderful already in the radiance of the sun, which sets the framework of the radiance of a bride with her bridegroom. Father, we thank you for helping us to do so in the name of you, our Maker. Indeed, it is all from you. You are the Creator. You have brought people together right from the beginning, giving Adam his wife to be his helpmeet. And you continue faithfully to this very day, bringing husband and wife together. And we share in the joy and gratitude of Chad and Sarah that we may witness that solemn moment with them. Father, we thank you for the joy that you give them. We thank you for the love that you have instilled in them. We thank you for blessing them throughout their time of dating and their preparations for this day, because in every way, you have been leading them and guiding them so that it all came together under your blessing, Father, hand. And here we are to witness the actual momentous occasion of the solemnization of their marriage. Father, we thank you that we may all be here to witness that with gratitude, with joy, with praise, with blessings to you and to them. Father, we also realize by the accident that happened last night, that we cannot take anything for granted. Indeed, our lives are in your hand, as also was the life of Austin Schulenberg, when his accident could have been a lot worse, perhaps, than it was, but still necessitated his admission to the hospital. And we pray that you will be with him, that you will also bless the care that he receives, the diagnosis that needs to be made, the tests that are being done, that indeed his life may be saved and spared, also for the future in his life of service to you. But Father, in this service, we focus our attention on you. We listen to your word, and we do the solemnization also in accordance with that word. We pray that you will bless the proclamation of your word, because it is not only a message for and about Chad and Sarah, it's a message from your word for all of us, because we all need to know you in your sovereign good pleasure, your sovereign love and grace. We also need to submit ourselves to your leading in our lives. And you know, Father, as we can see in this accident, that in our lives, not everything works out the way we anticipate. And therefore we entrust ourselves, we entrust Chad and Sarah to your providential care, to your fatherly love, to your grace and peace in the time to come. And we pray that we may all find that grace and peace in Jesus Christ. Will you grant that he is in their home, that he is central in their life, so that it truly may be a marriage in the Lord, and that also in the renewal of their lives in his image, they may again show what your intention with marriage was from the beginning, that wonderful institution that you've given among mankind, that it may come to fruition and to its fullness under your blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon we open the Word of God in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs. Chad and Sarah requested me to speak on Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20 and 21. But we will first read in chapter 16 some parallel Proverbs of wisdom in the verses 1 through 9, page 639 in the Pew Bible. 639 in the Pew Bible. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 through verse 9. There we read God's word as follows. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. That's our scripture passage. We now turn to the focal point of the address, chapter 19, the verses 20 and 21. Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21. This is the word of God. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. That's our text. Beloved Chad and Sarah, parents, grandparents, relatives, friends, brothers and sisters, the psalmist of Psalm 90, Moses that is, prays that the Lord may teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Well, if there are any people who have been numbering their days, it's Chad and Sarah. The day of June 10, 2022 couldn't come fast enough. And yes, they have been doing so indeed that they may get a heart of wisdom. In fact, the gift of wisdom is the one virtue most truly and sincerely desired by our bridal couple. Now we read in 1 Kings 3 that it pleased the Lord when King Solomon placed wisdom at the top of his wish list. Hence we believe that it also is pleasing the Lord that Chad and Sarah have to have the express desire to receive wisdom in their marriage. A marriage which they desire to be a marriage in the Lord. And that most surely also is the most desirable virtue in such a marriage, since the Lord Jesus Christ became to us wisdom from God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 29. In our much enjoyed premarital classes, It also became apparent that both Chad and Sarah have the proper understanding of what this wisdom means and entails. Wisdom in the scriptures, especially in the book of Proverbs, denotes practical wisdom. It's not some kind of philosophical reflection of life or some cerebral theory about life. Rather, chokmah, the Hebrew word for wisdom, means wisdom that's a practical fruit and evidence of a life in the Lord, a life in the fear of the Lord. It shows how a life in the Lord, also a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, is worked out in our daily living and walking with the Lord. In our work, in our conversation, in our relationships, our stewardship, our married life as a whole. Then from our conversations in these marriage classes, it has become evident beyond a doubt that this is what Chad and Sarah desire. A life in this wisdom. Chad providing the practical implementation and Sarah giving the wise and spiritual thought and contemplation of what a marriage in the Lord is all about. It should not surprise us, therefore, beloved, that Chad and Sarah also chose a wedding text that expresses this desire explicitly. Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21. The book of Proverbs, as I said, is full of wisdom. Solomon has expressed in them the sense of things, the purpose of them. A proverb isn't just some wise expression, a common folk wisdom that came up from among the people, but it's a word of wisdom for the people and to the people. Proverbs are wise words that place this practical daily life in the light of God's word. Our scripture passage in Proverbs 16, for instance, also shows that this practical daily life is lived with the Lord, our covenant God. It's a covenant wisdom, a covenant way of life. That doesn't mean that this wisdom should be restricted to covenant people only. On the contrary, Proverbs 16, verse 1 addresses the reality that applies to every man and woman. The plans of the heart belong to man, is a feature of man. The Lord's wisdom, then, is a blessing to everyone who hears it, who learns from it. Then it also is important to note that this is a wisdom as well that must be applied to the heart. It's in the heart of everyone who knows the Lord and seeks the Lord and lives for the Lord that this wisdom is a blessing and determines their plans. Then it became evident in our conversations and dialogue what great blessing it is that both Chad and Sarah grew up in covenant families. From their testimonies and recollections, it appeared clearly that they have learned much of this practical, scriptural, and covenantal wisdom at home. What a rich heritage they received at home. A treasure that has been passed on from generation to generation and which they embraced wholeheartedly. In the context of this discussion, they quoted Psalm 103. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Thus, they want to make their plans and live their married life according to their wedding text. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. They too have made many plans and will be making more plans, since many are the plans in the mind of a man. And they also are aware and realize that it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Now the best place, therefore, it is to go to the house of the Lord and learn about this way of the Lord and purposes of the Lord. Thus, as the preacher puts it in Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1, go to the house of the Lord to listen. There we hear, for instance, from God's word, that the Lord, in his sovereign plan of salvation, changed the plans of Joseph's brothers and made him viceroy in Egypt. There we read as well how the Lord thwarted the plan of Saul, who persecuted the congregation of the Lord Jesus, and made him into a missionary. Zacchaeus, too, had some strange thoughts about Jesus, yet the Lord changed his mind and he ended up inviting Jesus into his house. In our life as well, much is happening that is unexpected and unheard of. We end up in a different spot or situation than we thought a few years ago, as Chad realizes too. We are planning to do this or that, but the outcome can be so different. The Lord directs our path. Our life depends on God's plan. How important it is then, beloved, that we listen to God's word and learn his wisdom rather than following our own devices. That's perhaps unusual in a time in which God is ignored and excluded more and more. God doesn't figure any longer in the practice of man's life. People can do it themselves in their own way. Then it is important that we listen to God's word, acknowledge God's guidance, his leading and wisdom for our life. It's wisdom what he does. Even if his ways are so different than what we would have done or expected, he directs. The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. That also shows how important it is to listen to advice in the plans of a married couple and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Few people would likely disagree with the notion that marriage has fallen on hard times. Although exact figures are hard to come by, it's become common knowledge that first marriages have about 40% chance of ending in divorce. The odds are even greater for subsequent marriages. Moreover, almost all of us know of at least one marriage that has ended in divorce. Seeing the phenomenon of divorce, many couples are reluctant to get married. They fear that they will come to a point where they will not be able to settle conflicts or communicate well, and that they then will end their marriage. Such fears, of course, are not entirely invalid, because a husband and a wife are both sinners, and conflict inevitably arises in every marriage. Much of this conflict occurs because of the differences between the two in how they subjectively value things. In our marriage classes, we also broached these possible scenarios for conflict. And Chad and Sarah acknowledged the reality of them. Hence, we address some real situations, some realistic possibilities, in order to sharpen their communication, which, by the way, is very good already, and to equip them with conflict resolutions. then the bottom line was two. Listen, listen, and listen. And don't be too quick on the trigger, Chad. Understand each other's reasons. Consider each other's feelings. And listen, and be slow to speak. It's the wisdom of the Lord needed to navigate conflicts in marriage, so this wonderful institution and intimate relationship has a future. Just as we are called to seek our wisdom in God's Word, and we seek to be renewed in the image of Christ, whom God has given for our wisdom, so our text also exhorts us to submit with our life to the sovereignty of God. In God's sovereign plan of salvation, His purpose is often different from our plans. Yet even so, we also confess that He will turn whatever evil befalls us to our benefit, and converts it to make it subservient to our salvation. Hence, we always make our plans, the Lord willing, and we consider our steps prayerfully. Thus, divine sovereignty, when rightly understood and embraced, is both comforting and fundamentally rational, practical, and wise. Understanding our frailties and finitude should motivate us to love the fact that only purposes of Him who is perfect in love, knowledge, and power are surely accomplished in every circumstance. That's why your wedding text, Chad and Sarah, in Proverbs 19, verse 21, gives such a rest and peace in your life. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Our God and Savior always acts in such a way that He accomplishes what He intends. Sometimes this is not evident to us immediately. Or we find His work in our life or in the history of the world perplexing. Yet this is not a reflection on divine wisdom or benevolence. Instead, it is a consequence of the distinction between creator and creature, between savior and believer. Our thoughts are not His thoughts, and our ways are not His ways. Thus, when we cannot comprehend the ways that the Lord is working things out in our lives, it is actually proof that He is on the move. And because we know that He is good and holy, we can find rest for our souls no matter what He does in our life. Let's therefore always submit our plans to His purpose. What great comfort it is, beloved, and what important confession at this time, at the beginning of your journey together in marriage, that in God's purpose, He doesn't flounder. He has all knowledge. He has all perspective. He never has done or will do anything foolish. Never. He is all wise. It's good to know that it's only the purpose of the all-wise God that will stand. So, doesn't that lead us then to pray today and just submit our plans to His purpose? Then this will be our prayer. O God, You are all-wise. You are all-good. And everything You do is good, and Your purposes will be accomplished. We are thankful for that. We are thankful because Your purpose is good. It is good because it brings You glory, and it is good because by Your grace it's good for us. That's what we are seeking in You today, O God, in our marriage in the Lord. O God, we praise You that Your purpose involves the salvation of sinners for the glory of Your name. That Your purpose is to save sinners like us, like others who are listening to this by the cross of Christ, that we might be reconciled to you, that we might live in relationship with you that will last forever, for eternal life. We are so thankful that that purpose will stand. So God, we yield our plans to you today. We lay our plans down and we pray, have your way. As we will sing, be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Have your way in our lives. Have your way in our families. Have your way in our churches. Have your way with us, we pray. Lead us. Guide us. Direct us according to your purposes, not our plans. High King of heaven, my victory won, may we reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven sun. Heart of our own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Amen. Let us indeed respond by singing, Be Thou My Vision, number 446 in our Trinity Psalter Hymnal. 446, stanza 1, 4, and 5. We'll now proceed to the solemnization of marriage. For that purpose, we turn to the form that we have in this book of Forms and Prayers, page 84. Page 84, Solemnization of Marriage, Form 1. We are assembled here in the presence of God for the purpose of joining in marriage Chad William Bartels and Sarah Elaine Brueckelmann. Since the consistory has received no lawful objections, we may now proceed to the solemnization of their marriage in the name of the Lord. Therefore, let us reverently call to mind what the Word of God teaches us about marriage. The holy bond of marriage was instituted by God at the very beginning of history. He created man in his own image, supplied him with many blessings, gave him dominion over all things, and said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. We therefore believe that in marriage God gives a man and a woman to each other as husband and wife, and as an institution of God it must be held in honor among all. Since they are united by his hand, nothing shall separate them in this life." Our Lord Jesus honored marriage by his presence at the wedding in Cana and confirmed it as an institution of God, as an honorable state, and as a lasting bond when he declared, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." God has made marriage a strong bond. He hates divorce. And our Lord Jesus Christ explains in these words, "Whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Since the Lord forbids immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband, so that our bodies may be preserved as a temple of the Holy Spirit and we may glorify God in our body." The Apostle Paul shows the exalted nature of marriage when he calls it a symbol of the mystical union of the Savior and the Church, his redeemed bride, commending it as a state honorable among all. The Word of God also teaches us the purpose of marriage. First, husband and wife shall live together in sincere love and holiness, helping each other faithfully in all things. Secondly, by marriage, the human race is to be continued and increased. Thirdly, by marriage, the advancement of the kingdom of God is to be promoted. This purpose calls for loving devotion to each other and a common responsibility for the nurturing of children in the true knowledge and fear of the Lord, which the Lord may give them as his heritage and as parties to his covenant. For the home which marriage establishes, the Lord ordained that the man should be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and that he should protect her and provide for her in love, a love which, if exercised in the Spirit and after the example of Christ, will be conducive to mutual happiness. God also ordained that the wife should be subject to the husband in all things according to his word, showing him respect even as the church does to Christ. Thus, the liberty of both husband and wife is glorified by mutual loyalty to God's law. A home so begun in the name of the Lord and regulated by his commandments becomes the very foundation of a Christian society and affords a foretaste of the eternal home. Marriage, then, is a divine ordinance intended to be a source of happiness, an institution of the highest significance to the human race, and a symbol of the union of Christ and his church. We may therefore, as Christians, look with confidence for grace in the discharge of our mutual responsibilities and for guidance and help in our common difficulties and trials. May I now request the bridal couple to come forward. Also, the two witnesses, you join them here beside this beautiful arch. Yeah, don't trip over it. Are you safe there?
I'm safe here.
And now, Chad, William Bartels, Sarah, Elaine Brueckelmann, having heard from the Word of God the teaching concerning marriage, do you agree with it? And do you desire to enter into this holy state of marriage as ordained by God? Chad, what is your answer to that question?
I do.
Sarah?
I do.
May the Lord confirm the desire and purpose of your hearts, and may your beginning be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I don't have to ask you to hold hands. Chad, would you please repeat after me? Yeah.
I, Chad William Bartels.
Take you, Sarah Elaine Brueckelmann.
Take you, Sarah Elaine Brueckelmann.
To be my wife.
To be my wife. I promise before God.
And all who are present here.
And all who are present here.
To be your loving and faithful husband. I will love you and give myself up for you.
I will love you and give myself up for you.
As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
I promise to be true to you.
I promise to be true to you.
In good times and in bad.
In good times and in bad.
In riches and poverty.
In riches and poverty.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
I will serve you with tenderness and respect. And encourage you to develop the gifts that God has given you.
And encourage you to develop the gifts that God has given you.
And never forsake you.
And never forsake you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
I, Sarah Elaine Brueckelmann.
I, Sarah Elaine Brueckelmann.
Take you, Chad William Bartels.
Take you, Chad William Bartels.
To be my husband. I promise before God,
I promise before God,
and all who are present here,
and all who are present here,
to be your loving and faithful wife.
Be your loving and faithful wife.
I will love you and submit to you.
I will love you and submit to you.
As the church loves and submits to Christ.
As the church loves and submits to Christ.
I promise to be true to you.
I promise to be true to you.
In good times and in bad.
In good times and in bad.
In riches and in poverty.
In riches.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
I will serve you with tenderness and respect.
I will serve you with tenderness and respect.
And encourage you to develop the gifts that God has given you.
And encourage you to develop the gifts that God has given you.
And never forsake you.
And never forsake you.
As long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
May I now have the rings. Chad William Bartels, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love to Sarah?
I do.
Sarah, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love to Chad?
I do.
I now pronounce you, Chad William Bartels and Sarah Elaine Brueckelmann, husband and wife, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What therefore God has joined together, let no one separate. From this day forward, as you travel life's pathway together, may the Father of all mercies, who of his grace has called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you together in true love and faithfulness and grant you his blessing. Chad William Bartels and Sarah Elaine Brueckelmann, since we cannot expect anything from ourselves, you shall kneel before the Lord, and we shall pray with you and for you, that he may enable you to fulfill your vows and grant you his blessing. As introduction to this prayer, we will all rise and sing together Psalm 134, stanzas 1 and 2. Just wait till the second stanza. Most merciful and gracious God, of whom the whole family of heaven and earth is named, we ask you to set your seal of approval upon the marriage which our brother and sister have begun this day. Give them your fatherly benediction. Grant them grace and your Holy Spirit to fulfill with pure and constant affection the vow and covenant made between them. Guide them in the way of righteousness and peace, that loving and serving you with one mind and heart all the days of their life, they may be abundantly enriched with the tokens of your everlasting favor in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all of life's experiences, lift up your countenance upon them, that they may be thankful in prosperity and patient in adversity. May their marriage be fruitful. Grant them wisdom and strength to build a home which shall be to the glory of your name and the coming of your kingdom. May they live together many years, and in the hour of death may they part in the blessed hope of celebrating forever with all the saints of God the marriage of Christ and the church he loved. Hear our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying together as congregation, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us also confirm this prayer and benediction by turning together to stanza 3 of Psalm 134. We will now proceed with the signing of the certificates and the register. May I now ask Brother Henry Westervelt to come forward for the presentation of the Bible.
Chad and Sarah Bartels, on behalf of the consistory of this church, we'd like to congratulate you on your marriage. Recently, you have both joined our church. We pray that you are fed by the word, feel at home here, and are able to use your gifts here for God's glory. It is our prayer that this wedding Bible that we are giving you today will be used, studied, and guide you in your marriage. In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." May the Lord continue to richly bless you both.
We will now sing together, "Abide with Me," which is number 159, stanza 1, 3, and 5.
Oh,
I don't know whether I should share it, but Chad is a little bit shy, believe it or not. He wasn't sure whether he would be able to kiss in public, but I'll challenge him. Go ahead. So that's the first one.
That's right.
Yeah, you never realized that, eh? Hopefully it will be followed by many.
Great.
Chad and Sarah, I'm also the functionary, the officiant of the government, and I have here a very important document. It doesn't look very important at all, but it is the record of the solemnization of your marriage. If and when you would like to apply for a formal certificate that you could hang on the wall, you would need this. So keep it safe. I'll give it to Tyler, and he will keep it in the Bible. And, yeah, then it also reminds you, you are Mr. and Mrs. Bartels.